Conquest, a program on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Quran Quest. I'm Hadi Saravi with Brother Habib in the studio. And we're going to talk about Surah At-Tahrim, verse 2 onward. Dear Brother Habib, welcome to the show. How are you?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for having me. It's always an honor and a pleasure.
It's always great to see you. We're going to listen to the second verse and we're going to come back. This is IRB English Radio. You're listening to Quran Quest. Be back. Stay tuned.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
قد فرض الله لكم تحلة أيمانكم والله مولاكم وهو العليم الحكيم.
Allah has already ordained for you Muslims the dissolution of your oaths. And Allah is your protector, and He is the knowing, the wise.
We're back. This is IRB English Radio, and you're listening to Quran Quest. I'm Hadi Saravi with Brother Habib in the studio. We're going to talk about the second verse of Surah At-Tahrim. And, you know, there are some questions, some thoughts, maybe some. It's from some of our listeners too. Some people bring up these issues that Prophet Muhammad was so into having many wives. Your thoughts?
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. First of all, who said that's anything wrong or bad? Why do we view it as something bad and wrong when it comes to the Prophet, and yet when we see it from other men, it's considered to be a good action? That's first of all. Second of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed and the Prophet was permitted to have more than four wives. Unlike the rest of the Muslims, where they were allowed to have four wives. That was one of the significance and one of the traits given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. A man having romantic relationships with his wife or with his wife is considered to be something recommended in the eyes of Islam, something that the angels love when they see. It is considered to be from great belief. Every time a believer increases in iman, in faith, his love for women or his love for his wife or wives becomes more and becomes stronger and greater. And a person spending time with his family is not always, you know, eating and playing and sitting around and talking. It could also be with these actions. لَهُوَ الْمُؤْمِنِ The time of the hobby of the believer is to actually be with his wife and being with this in this situation. So these who come and have their personal views and are cold themselves, do not have sexual relations themselves, want to compare themselves, their cold selves, to the emotional Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, the person with so much love for his family, the person who cared so much about his family. So I see that the Prophet was a person always, you know, looking for, you know, coyus or always looking for relations and whatnot. I see this as it's coming from a sick person, first of all. Secondly, there's nothing wrong with it. So I personally don't see anything wrong with it, nor does the Quran, nor do you know, Arabs, nor do Muslims altogether. Mm. So I think that this really comes from the factor of, you know, our times where marrying more than one woman has become such a taboo action. And, you know, it was something normal. When looking at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, and how he treated his women, he was a role model of how to treat women. All his wives were happy within their marriage. All his wives felt privileged to be the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. That's one thing. Another thing is that when you look at the high amount of wives that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi had, there are a lot of benefits behind them. First of all, like for example, you have the social and political benefits from them. When the Prophet would marry from this tribe would become closer to Islam. From that tribe would become closer to Islam. And that was marriage at the time. Like even look at the marriage of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Even before that, before Islam, tribes would marry from other tribes to, you know, fix problems, to resolve their problems between each other. One can review the history of Arabs before Islam and go ahead and look at how marriage was and how marriage is. And to this day, you know, when you marry from a from this family or that family, from this nationality or that nationality, it brings ties together, inshallah ta'ala. Again, having more than one wife also increases the children. So that's something to keep in mind. But unfortunately, the Prophet ﷺ's offspring only came from Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, which is pretty much a wisdom or something, you know, to keep in mind when we talk about the virtues of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam.
Okay, so I think I still need to talk about it. So we're going to take a short break. This is RIB English Radio. You're listening to Quran Quest. I'm Hadi Saravi with Brother Habib in the studio. Stay tuned. We're going to take a short break. Be back very soon.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
We're back. I'm Hadi Saravi. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm in the studio with Brother Habib, and this is Quran Quest. You know, this is very hard. Some people want to label Prophet Muhammad with these ideas. And also, you know, I think this is the matter of having the balance, keeping balance in the modern society. I think it's this balance is hard to find, and some people are, you know, misuse it or kind of, you know,
they mislabel it. I can agree with you that it has been, in the eyes of society today, this concept has kind of been made that it's an ugly concept. It's a concept that should be off. It's a concept unacceptable. It's taboo. Yes, in the eyes of society today. But who makes the eyes of society something that we should be following? What makes the eyes of society today, the society that we're living in, as something to be the criteria of seeing what the right action is or the wrong action is? We have a religion we are following. We have the laws given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're a Muslim, I'm talking to Muslims right now. If you're a Muslim, you should believe in, you believe in the Quran. You supposedly believe in the Quran, go and review the verses with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these actions. And it is one of the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. At the time of the Prophet, there were three men who stayed away from sexual relationships with their wives. So the Prophet came and gave a ceremony saying, "Ana afdalakum," I am the best of you, and I have sexual relationships with my wives, plural. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, this is one of the actions of the Prophet. This is one of the traits of the Prophet. This is a characteristic of the Prophet, whether society today likes it or not. And society today is not a criteria that I follow. It's not the rule that I follow. I don't care what society today talks about, because society today is going to change. Society yesterday saw slavery as something as a norm. Today they see slavery as something as not usual. In the future they might see it as something normal, unusual. So that really goes back to the factor of the environment that you're living in and allowing the environment to affect your thoughts. That peer pressure, I like to call it the cultural pressure that we are living in. Stay away from that cultural pressure, and you try to understand the Prophet how he is in the eyes of Allah, in the eyes of Islam.
let's talk about the conditions and ifs, because there are some buts and ifs in this matter.
The matter of, you know, marrying more than one wife. There is the regulation of adala, of just being just with throughout the wives. But what is adala? This is the jewel of a question.
There are many interpretations, of course, but
the jewel of it is that you give each one a night out of four nights. So you have to give, for example, you're married to four wives. Throughout the four nights that you have to give each one night. Each one has one night that it's rightfully hers. Then there's also the concept of spending equally. Scholars state that yes, you must spend equally. Some others state no, it's not a condition or regulation for you to be allowed to marry more than one wife, and so on and so on. But at the end of the day, the concept is there. There are some regulations. You could go ahead and return to the scholars that you follow, the mujtahid you follow, or if you're a person who doesn't follow, you could go ahead and see the sayings about it, the verses about it. The Sunni school of thought are also very, you know, clear about this topic. And I personally don't see it as a taboo topic. I don't know why people make a big huss about it.
Okay, anyways. So that's very interesting. But I think it's still so many things to talk about.
Surah An-Nisa, inshallah ta'ala,
okay.
We'll go into details.
Yeah, okay, we're going to take a short break here, dear listeners. We're going to be back very soon. Please do stay with us. This is IRB English Radio. You're listening to the Quran Quest. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. We're back. You're listening to Quran Quest. I'm Hadi Saravi with Brother Habib here in the studio. We're talking about chapter At-Tahrim, verses 2 and onward. I want you to help us understand this part. We earlier listened to it, the meanings behind it. Allah has already, let's read it, let's recite the verses. Allah has already ordained for you Muslims the dissolution of your oath, and Allah is your protector, and He is the knowing, the wise. Please help us understand a little more, dig into this verse.
Here, look, when we talked about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi prohibiting from himself, it is mentioned by some interpreters that the Prophet made an oath that he will not, you know, have sexual relation with Maria anymore, or will not drink from that honey drink, depending on the interpretation you want to take on. And others state that no, the Prophet didn't make any oath, but rather here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that it is lawful for you, you know, to return to what Allah has made permissible for you. Anyhow, the lesson to take from this is that when Muslim, in Abrahamic religions altogether, when giving oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a sacred matter. It is a holy matter. You are taking oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not do this action, to do this action and whatnot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-knowing, the all-wise, the all-merciful, opened the doors for believers here that if you want to dissolution the oath, you can give what is called the kafara. Which is pretty much it'am al-maskeen, or, you know, feeding the poor, the feeding the needy, or kuswatuhum, which is giving them clothes, or fasting, depending on the rulings, depending on the thing that you gave oath or the matter you gave oath by, and so on, which could be reviewed in jurisprudence books.
Okay. So I think just one thing came up to my mind. It's about the repentance. Some people say that Prophet Muhammad did something wrong, and he needed to come back and repent, have some repentance. Or it's a place that many people may have this doubt. Do you have the same feeling about it?
No, here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do anything that is considered to be unlawful, something that is considered to be haram, something that is considered to be prohibited. Here, rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, in order to please or make his wife, you know, his wife's happy, he said that I'm gonna stay away from this action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want his Prophet to stay away from that action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want the Prophet to be hurt or to be annoyed in this matter. Does not want the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi to live his life being budged by his wives. As we will see, inshallah ta'ala, in the coming verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that he is his guardian.
So it's not a rebuke.
It's not a rebuke or criticism to the, towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's more of a rebuke and criticism towards the people who were annoying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who caused him to act in this manner, react in this manner.
Well said. Fair enough. Thank you. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Quran Quest. That's all the time we have. We are listening to Surah Tahrim, verse 2. I hope you enjoyed the program. Wish you all the best. Don't forget to tune in next time. Stay safe. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Quran Quest, the program that answers your Quranic questions.